absolute last thing in the world I want to be doing right now is podcasting.
This is my fault because I made us reschedule because I was hungover. Badly hungover.
Yeah. I was not a part of that.
I slept till 9 o'clock at night. I woke up for 3 hours, went back to bed. Why are you sneezing?
I was holding it in.
Don't hold it in. You're going to give yourself a fucking aneurysm. Okay? You're no good to me dead.
That hurt so bad.
Yeah, so we're recording at 9:33 Chicago time, 10:33 Steve time.
Real time.
When's your bedtime typically?
8:33.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay.
No, but for real.
I don't know. I'm not like a child. I don't have a fucking bedtime.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm saying, when do you typically fall asleep, you ass?
Jenna, when do you typically fall asleep?
4 a.m. Between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. Because I'm nuts.
Correct.
I told Steve I was spiraling earlier, so that, like, checks out my answer more. I'm in spiral mode.
I don't know what that means.
You know what it
means. You're going to lose your shit?
I don't know.
Riveting talk. So, I was going to get right to the point because I'm also tired and I want to take my printer and throw it out the window. February's over, which means it's March. It's kind of how this works.
Thank you.
Means there's a new theme. And I wrote something really dumb to introduce it.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay.
Give it a go.
Oh, God.
As the earth slowly reawakens from its wintertime slumber.
Nope.
As the snowfalls subside and the soil thaws, we prepare for the revival of other life.
Prepare!
The creatures of folklore and legend that rise from the loamy earth, crawling out from the wretched hollows or descending from the pinnacles and caverns of the mountains to rise up once again against the world of men, sowing terror as men sow seeds in their fields. And that blatantly dramatic introduction means that for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be going mythological march on your ass over at Groovy Little Spook Show, celebrating supernatural creatures and the practitioners of the occultic magics that summon them forth from the fables to the feast. And I had to do this specifically because we just wanted to make Jenna watch Leprechaun, so we couldn't just do 5 Leprechaun movies. I mean, we could have, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, did you write that?
Yes.
You wrote that?
Yes.
Oh my God, I was into that kind of. I'm feeling that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's must be why I like you.
So
I like the voice.
Thank you. It's my dramatic voice.
I liked it. Steve hated it, which made me like it even more.
We're going to keep it fun this month. Monsters, mythology, folklore, things of that sort. Jenna's already picked her film. And we might do that next week because I don't know which I want to do because I don't particularly want to drive Steve insane with the choices I want to do.
What? Why not? You guys get to fuck with me. Why can't we fuck with Steve?
No, I think it's more fun to fuck with you at this point.
Come on.
No, you picked a good one. That's the problem. You picked decent movies.
Yeah, I know.
So Leprechaun's going to torture you. So.
Also, I'm unfuckwithable.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. Challenge.
That's a challenge.
All right. Well, Steve, as the troll enthusiast, you picked the first movie. What is it?
We decided
as a group. This is true.
Decided to cover Troll Hunter,
the DreamWorks movie that was animated, right?
That's literally. Hold on. I said to Scott, I looked up nothing about it. I was picturing, like, what did I say? Gumby, but Gumby does trolls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought we were watching. But like, it was like, but it was like the horror version, like in Always Sunny, when they like
the claymation.
Yeah. But they like they chop the head off and eat his spine.
Yeah.
Like that's what I thought it was going to be, but with trolls, and then it was the literal opposite.
Yeah. So Troll Hunter 2010. Norwegian horror mockumentary. For some reason, the last like 6 movies we've done have been European, yeah. or I would say international pictures. So,
yeah.
Like specifically going to try to not pick something with subtitles for the next one because at this point we're pretty much like a foreign movie horror podcast. So,
Ooh.
This was fun, though.
Who fucking cares? Oh, my God.
I don't like to read words when I watch my movies.
Yeah, to be fair, like, I'm, like, innately lazy, but if I can do it, you can do it, you know?
Oh, I mean, I know I can do it.
After the dialogue of blood-sucking freaks, I'd rather read. Yeah,
for real. That, like, made me, like, dumber. For real.
Yeah, I don't have anything that good for this month, so.
Thank God.
I have something in the back of my mind that we might do. I don't know. But let's get this fucking troll fuck fest started. Starting now.
Troll fuck fest. Troll fuck fest.
Troll fuck fest. Three-headed troll. Anyway, as an introduction to the film, I figured I'd do some troll facts for everybody.
Oh, fantastic.
Troll facts.
Oh, yeah. That was nice.
Trolls are giant, grotesque beings originating in early Scandinavian folklore that are said to dwell within the primordial wilds and caverns of the northern European hinterlands to avoid humans, who they see as aggressors and invaders of their ancient lands, especially despising Christians and their fanaticism above all else. Although they do also hate Thor, according to most stories in Norse mythology.
Okay. Wait, why don't Christian people, like, stop bothering, like, people that want to get abortions and just focus all their hate onto the trolls who hate them back? Oh, yes. Mm. That's genius.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Jenna.
Thank you.
You have a career in politics.
Ugh. Gross.
Dim-witted dullards at best, trolls are not without colossal strength and predatory proclivities, making them fearsome foes with a penchant for man-eating when stones and goats are in short supply. Unfortunately for them, however, they are forcibly nocturnal and susceptible to sunlight, which can solidify them into stone statues at best or cause them to explode in a shower of blood and gore at worst. Excuse me. Trolls have existed for centuries within human folklore. The earliest written accounts can be read in the epic poem of Beowulf, with the Grendel as a prime example of one of the fiends. Following the Nordic tradition, there's also the play Peer Gynt, which tells this tale of an adventurer that inevitably finds himself standing against the Old Man of the Mountain, a troll king forever memorialized within both the play and the classical arrangement written for it by composer Edvard Grieg in his Hall of the Mountain King, which also was what the old theme was.
Everyone hail to the Pumpkin King.
That's right.
Sorry, that's what I thought of.
Thank you. Yes.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Boo!
Don't boo
in
me.
No, but Big Boo, in the Hall of the Mountain King is a phenomenal composition, and it's one of my favorite songs, if you can call it that. The rest of the Peer Gynt suite is also very interesting. There's lots of famous compositions from that. That's all inspired by this, but that's part of the reason why I wanted to pick this movie, because as Scott probably has notes written on and we'll get into, there is a lot of myth to unpack within this, both modern and historical. And also when you talk about a myth that's as old, as like troll myth.
What is going on?
That's as old as troll myth. We also see how much evolution of myth can take place. I mean, the concept of troll goes as far as Proto-Germanic, you know, even, you know, pre-Norse tribes and whatnot. And we see how it evolved during the Norse, you know, pagan time, and how the troll myth even survives and is altered through the Christianization of Scandinavia. And, you know, expressly Norway, and even now how it's kind of looked upon. So it's a very, very good start, I think, to our exploration of myth, which is one of the things I like the most, as far as cultural critique and literary critique goes.
Yeah. And to be fair, talking about trolls, like they do, especially in Peter Gynt, they're a lot different than the trolls we're going to see in Trollhunter, or in, I would say, most fantasy interpretations. We got like the old school big lumbering behemoths in this, but, you know, in Peer Gynt, they're
the troll princess, the green woman, is like supposedly somewhat beautiful. She just has a tail. So it's kind of has shifted over time, which is kind of fun too, because I feel like this interpretation of troll is the one that I would assume kind of everybody knows, but there is some weird mythology to unpack. There is definitely some kind of Norwegian, Scandinavian, like political stuff in this too, which is very, very, very subtle, but it makes certain things make a little bit more sense. I finished Lords of Chaos finally a couple weeks ago, so I have like certain, I guess, Scandinavian political, social commentary talk stuck in my head from some of the things that are mentioned in that book. So there's a whole kind of interesting things going on in this. But I did want to talk about some other famous trolls before we finish.
Oh, hell yeah.
We have the ubiquitous troll dolls of the 1980s, created by Danish woodworker Thomas Dam.
I was going to bring that up, so thanks. Yeah,
you're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Those are not terrifying, but they were everywhere. We have the titular troll in the 1986 horror comedy Troll. We have Trantor in Ernest Scared Stupid, which scared me shitless as a child. We have real-life trolls, including Senator Joe Manchin and Lindsey Graham, Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus, Prime Minister Boris Johnson of the UK, internet troll Ken M, and Wint of Twitter, not to mention fantastic folk metal band Fintroll, who everybody should listen to after they listen to this episode, because they are fucking awesome and hysterical, and they also dress like trolls.
You forgot the most important troll of them all.
Enlighten me.
Danny DeVito as Troll.
This is true.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Put some respect on his name.
Danny DeVito, yes.
I just want to put out there that a better troll metal band than Troll is Trollfest, and they are Norwegian and talk about and sing about Norwegian troll myth. So definitely check them out. Check out the song Espen Benaskaladen, which is, we'll talk about a little bit who that is later on. But yeah, just to piggyback on some of what Scott's saying, like, so that's a lot of the trolls that we are familiar with throughout our media, but even in just Old Norse terms, if anyone's familiar or has listened to enough Viking metal or whatever, some of the stuff that we're talking about, it will ring familiar. But there's an overlap in the Norse sagas in a way that we don't see when things try to be, conceptualized in modern day. So in Old Norse, you see uses of the term Jotun, troll, ters, risi, all to describe various things that seem like or could be construed as trolls, or are used in the same way in the, you know, a lot of the sagas, when you, especially, you know, the poetic Edda, obviously, is poetry. And so, but even in the prose, they use a lot of synonyms or kennings to combine to not just say the same thing over and over again. So you sometimes these things will be even mixed between each other in the same sources. So generally, Jotuns can be thought of being as like lords of nature. Trolls sometimes are like horrible, disgusting things, or also just like weird magicians.
Yeah, they can be like semi-magical, like
traveling
vagabonds to a point.
Yeah. A traveling vagabond? I like that.
Trolls, turs can be kind of more the monstrous kind of depiction of a troll that you might see. And then risi are kind of like what Scott was talking about, or one of the most famous Norwegian like troll stories, the myth of Soria Moria Castle, where like the three women in that are more kind of along that line of being, you know, courtly, beautiful beings that look more like humans. Additionally, you know, trolls were used to talk about things just like anyone that lives in a mountain, because there's a connotation. So you might have like a hermit that lived in a mountain that was called a troll because of that relation to that. Witches in general, someone that's really big or ugly, any evil spirits, ghosts, magical animals or boars, demons in general.
Pretty much any like malevolent entity or perceived.
It was used in a generic way for no reason.
Yeah, and two interesting ones are Blåmadder, which is black people. That's literally the Norse word for black for a black person. So something they were called trolls, not good.
Ooh, yikes.
But also one of my favorites.
One of my favorite slurs, everybody.
Oh, no, the Brunmigi.
Brunmigi?
Brunmigi.
I like that. What's it mean?
It's Old Norse for peas in a well.
Peas in a well?
Peas in a well.
Like the peas you eat?
No, like the peas you make in a toilet.
Oh, like goes pee in a well.
Like, yeah, like pisses in a well.
Oh, say it again?
Brunmigi?
Brunmigi. Got it. Cool, cool, cool.
So it's
it sounds like you're like, it sounds like you're like teabagging a woman straight in the vag. It's just you're doing Brunmigi.
Literally?
Peas in the well.
What it's from it's from Hossaga och Hosskrika.
Oh
yeah, super familiar.
No, that one.
And it's also a kenning used to refer to a fox. So, but this is supposed to be a very large.
What?
This is a very large beast that's known for defiling the wells in the realm of King Hjörleifr. So,
sounds like this dude's got his wells poisoned and decided not to blame the guy that didn't like him, but to describe a troll.
I feel like I'm on an episode of Jeopardy right now because you guys, it's just like so much talking and I'm retaining about 30% of it. So,
Brunmigi.
I can't.
Is that how like the name like Brunhilde came? It was like Brunhilde, like a troll woman, or is that just like a really dramatic name?
No, not quite.
Wrong.
The wrong. You're wrong. No, the name Brunhilde literally, I believe, comes from Well, what I gotta look it up. I don't want to be wrong, but I literally believe it just means.
God forbid.
But it's like, I believe in it's the Brune in that case is armor.
Oh, because she wasn't that she a shield maiden? Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I remember stuff from Bugs Bunny cartoons. See.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And Hild generally means like conflict or war, but yeah, it's slightly different because it's like Brun or Bryn or umlaut un. I don't know, a bunch of stuff people probably don't care about.
Yeah, I'm gonna pull a Steve and say I don't care. But hold on, real quick. Why have you been staring at me while I'm painting my nails? Am I doing something wrong?
No, it's just like hypnotizing and also like the wafting
it's
of
like
the scent.
It's like satisfying to you. Okay, like when people cut soap. And I like to watch that. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, we can move past it.
Yeah, let's move past that.
I just need to clear that up.
Cutting soap?
Yeah, those soap videos that I like where they go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. They dice the soap. And then they put the thing through it and goes, and like all the soap falls. You used to watch me watch these videos.
I have no, maybe.
It's called like so satisfying.
I haven't smoked weed in like 7 weeks. Everything is boring.
You used to watch her watch, bro. That's female traits.
Just make eye contact. Well, we should probably sum up the movie real quick with a nice little synopsis.
I got
before we get into
it. You ready?
What now?
Trolls. That's the synopsis.
You're done with this wine. I'm taking this away from you.
Thank you.
Right. So, to synopsisize this film, we have three students, Thomas, Johanna, and Kalle, who are from Volda University College, which is a real university
over there in Norway, and they're set out to film a documentary about a poacher on the run.
Oh, that's all real. That's all real university over there.
That's a real place. They are trying to find a poacher on the run for illegally slaying bears across the Norwegian countryside. Apparently, this is actually a thing. This is one of those first things in the movie that they kind of throw at you, is that, like, bears are common, they kill livestock, and also you have to have a license to kill bears because they are somewhat protected, which I did not realize. Yes, here, you can have your fucking wine back. There you go. After meeting the head of the Norwegian Wildlife Board, Finn Haugen, the trio clandestinely follow him to a campsite where the purported hunter is laying low. Eventually confronting and requesting an interview with him, Hans, the student, find themselves snubbed by the reclusive tracker, but decide to follow his trail into the wilderness later that night to see exactly what he is undertaking. And soon they find themselves, along with Hans, running for their lives from a troll that destroys their vehicle and wounds Thomas, our lead documentarian, before Hans transforms the creature into stone with what is, I guess, a UV light cannon of sorts. Basically, when you see a man running out of a forest screaming troll, you should pretty much
run.
Listen and run.
Yeah.
Hans reveals that he's not actually a poacher, but a troll hunter working for the TSS, Troll Security Service.
That made me giggle every time.
I just really like that what they did with this, the secret government organization, which is meant to keep trolls away from people,
yeah.
But they still have all the bureaucratic bullshit of having to fill out forms for everything killing.
It had, like, this interesting form of camp to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's a lot of, like, political, like...
Right, but...
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge going on in this.
It was like... I don't know. It just was something... It was, like, something I've never watched before. If that's...
I don't think... Well, the only mockumentary I've ever made you watch is Spinal Tap.
No, I've watched my... I'm just saying, it had a different feel to it.
Yeah, well...
Well, trolls. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you know, a lot of Norwegian movies are kind of like this, like and Scandinavian in general, but Norwegian comedy tends to be very dry. And so this is definitely firmly a horror comedy. And so one of the things to be clear about this movie that kind of got lost a little bit when it's subtitled and you're not like a Norwegian person that's familiar with it, a lot of the main cast are comedians. So yeah. if you were a Norwegian and you saw the guy playing Hans, you'd recognize him as like being a comedian. And so some of the other people, like the film crew, you know, the students, they were more like unknowns. But like the guy that played Finn and the guy that played Hans are like more known comedians. And so the dryness of that is kind of like you're more aware. You're not just like, is this just like weird? Like,
yeah, no, so. I could feel that. That's probably why I liked it, because I like humor like that. And right. Also, the main guy, the troll hunter, I said he's like,
he looks like Bert Kreischer. Yeah.
I said that's his like European doppelganger.
Yeah, known Russian sympathizer, Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
So the comedian is Otto Jesperin, who I kind of thought maybe you would pick this movie because he's a very overwhelmingly open communist comedian, and that's kind of why I was like, oh, this is why Steve.
I mean, I do
who?
Like him.
Who?
Hans.
Oh, okay.
Otto Jesperin.
Jesperin. Yeah. And so is Hans Morten Hansen, who plays Finn. He's another...
Hans Morten Hansen.
Hansen, yeah.
All right, Hans.
Hans Morten Hansen. Hansen, son of Hans.
It's a lot going on.
There's a whole lot going on. So Hans, he's pretty much fed up of being a hunter at this point because it pays poorly, and he's pretty much apathetic at this point. So he's going to let Tomas, Johanna, and Kala... film all the exploits and follow him on this little journey that he's up to, specifically so he can out the TSS for the fact that they've been hiding trolls from people, which is just a really funny, again, like, if you've worked in any job before, you're just sick of motherfuckers, like, sometimes you work with people that go out of their way to cause little chaos. Hans is kind of that dude. He's just worked through the bureaucracy. As we see in the movie, he gets the shit kicked out of him pretty regularly.
He lives in that camper that's full of troll tails and slime and, because of course you gotta cover yourself in troll gunk to cover right. your scent.
Right.
As we learned, scent is a big thing that happen of trolls. Specifically, they can smell Christians and they don't like them, which I always took that to be kind of a funny little, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, at Norway, because Norway, for having a state church, most Norwegians don't identify as religious, and also if you know, people, especially people in the metal community, they like to, you know, kind of look at early Christians, not that this is wrong, but as, like, early imperialists that, you know, change Scandinavian culture to a point, so that's kind of like the trolls are kind of representative of that, like, old culture.
They came in and they were like, everyone should be Christian, and they were like, this is what's up.
Oh yeah, very, very polite like that. Definitely yeah. didn't, you know,
that was the
forcefully
vibe.
Baptize anybody, burn them at the stake, murder them, break down their temples, nice. Build churches on it. They're very
glad to hear it.
This is where I get a little bit into my dumb, like, Norwegian nerd stuff.
Oh. Norwegian.
This is okay. Here we go.
Well, it's important. No, this is important, I'm especially kidding. For what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's
a good term, though.
It's sadly accurate. The Christianization of Scandinavia was slightly different than the Christianization of other places, because at that time, the time that it began to happen was at the height of the Viking Age, the so-called Viking Age. So you have, you know, long-running Norse influence and rule in the British Isles and across the Baltic, and even as far as into, you know, an area that we might know about because it's been in the news a lot today, recently, Ukraine.
Where the Rus were.
Yeah, the Kievan Rus, you know. So this is an expansive society that had a lot of folk belief. And so what proved to be the deciding factor was that the folk belief was so splintered. It wasn't like a reformed, codified, dogmatic religion, right? People had individual beliefs in the gods, and you'd have goti and priests and stuff around that would, like, help lead with that movement, but it was disparate. And so a lot of these chieftains would decide to become Christian to cement alliances, especially in the British Isles and in Denmark, where they, you know, at that time, Denmark had a borders with some of the Carolingian dynasties that came after Charlemagne's empire.
By the way, this all makes a ton of sense if you play any Crusader Kings 3 and you know what that old paper map looks like, because currently Ireland, who I'm playing as, trying to get the Danish on my side to take out some enemies. And they're a little bit, you know, cranky.
Right. And so, yeah, so exactly, though, because so what's that mean? That's why we have so many beliefs that are part of even now as a anglicized society that have roots to this period. You know, stuff as, like, Christmas being in the winter,
yeah.
whereas Jesus's birthday is, you know, more like around Easter, but they kind of made Christmas become a more important thing and kind of start celebrating it towards the solstice to align with the pagan festivals of Yule, which is where we get Yule and Yuletide from. Christmas trees.
Coming from the guy that also throws an annual Yule party, too.
Yes. Christmas trees are part of that that heritage, you know? So this wasn't the way that Christianity kind of subsumed and eradicated other religions and other like cultures. This was a much more of a melting pot. because the Vikings, you call, I say that by talking about people that actually went and raided and conquered land abroad, like the ones that went to Scotland and Ireland and Wales. They picked up on cultural artifacts and whatnot and kind of ingratiated themselves. So it's not quite the same as what we would see later on with the Crusades, both in Eastern Europe and in the Middle East, where you would basically attempt to completely eradicate local and folk religions. What this means for the movie that we're watching today is kind of what I mentioned earlier, where you have this concept of troll that predates even the Viking age, that we can see there's like, you know, terms like Tulin and stuff that go all the way back to Proto-Germanic, and the way that this concept, this mythology has evolved because of this kind of the isolation of Norway and of Northern Europe and Scandinavia and of the power of folk belief when you have that isolation, when you're not going to be able to just convince everyone because you have massive cultural centers. So yeah, fucking farmers all the way up in fucking, you know, Finnmark are going to keep a lot of their own beliefs because there's like 10 of them and who cares? So that's what kind of ends up happening. And so you have this kind of interesting device of the troll, which in a movie like this is representative of so many things. One, its initial bounds to nature, right? As a some sort of nature lord or nature gods, old gods, you know, animist kind of gods, and what has been taken and to what end, right? Like Scott mentioned, there are all the Scandinavian countries are still monarchies and they all have state churches. But the actual level of religiosity is extremely low in Scandinavia as a whole. So
I think I read something when I was doing a little research is that there is a bigger belief in Scandinavian countries of creatures like a troll or a fairy or a fae of some sort, more than like folk religious belief than there is of actual like Christianity.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Well, because you'll have people that are irreligious that believe in this stuff, but you also will have, because of what I'm talking about, this kind of syncretic nature of belief in these areas that are Christian but believe in trolls and stuff like that.
That's me.
Yeah.
I know. I literally, like, I believe in, like, all. I'm just like, yeah, unicorns are real, mermaids are real, trolls are real, unicorns live in Sweden. I've been saying that.
I mean, when I saw Opeth, Mikael Ekerfeldt told me that when he was talking to the audience that Sweden is a small island off the coast of Japan and it's filled with elves.
Yeah, like totally agree.
And that's coming from a man from, you know, Scandinavia, so I gotta believe that.
I just feel like if you can, like, believe that God exists, like, why can't a unicorn exist? I don't know. Throwing it out there. What?
Big Jenna thoughts tonight.
What?
Keep drinking your wine.
The point being that, you know, the beliefs evolved over time. So you have that kind of more natural aspect, but you also have this aspect, you know, the kind of black middle aspect of this is everything.
Christian dog to destroy and rape pure Nordic culture.
Oh my
God. With their Semitic beliefs.
This is the This is the heritage that they've taken from them.
Yeah.
And then you also have the modern kind of, you know, romantic. There was a big period across the world in the 18th century called Romanticism, which led to a lot of nationalism. It was kind of like it was a point in time where a lot of artists and composers would make, you know, what we know as our national anthems and stuff across the world. And in that, people were revisiting their myths. Now in a place like America that didn't have a lot of myths, that
because we killed all the myth makers of blankets when we showed up,
Right.
Oh. Yeah, it's true though.
I know.
It's true.
Yeah. I know.
That's why our myths are much so about the Old West, you know.
Yeah.
And the, you know, that kind of shit, which was at the, of that time.
Yeah, cowboys and Indians are very much like Vikings, like a Viking myth. Like they're this romanticized warrior guy, you know, heroic mm-hmm. persona that was based off of a job, essentially. A Viking was just a dude that was told to go on a boat to get his Jarl fucking gold and jewels.
Right.
So the guy could essentially stay in power. That's all it basically was. Same with a cowboy. Yeah. Cowboy was just a guy that had a couple six shooters and, you know, stopped the savage Apache taking the women. You know, it's just like, but again, like, yeah, there's this very, like, we don't have American myths because we've barely been here, you know, 250 years. I mean, not even, you know, yeah. So
it's like white
the people that, you know, the like I said, the people that did have the myths about, you know, Mother Earth, Father Sky, all that, we, you know, they live on small tracts of land that we put there and force them there too. There is American myth, but like it's this horrible. I mean, it's forgotten for the most part, just like a lot of like indigenous languages are forgotten. So it's kind of funny too when you talk, you see white nationalists, especially with Marjorie Taylor Greene and all these fucks that are flying Russian flags during all this Ukrainian stuff that's happening. These are people that like legitimately think that like, you know, the strong white male, the Viking, these figures that are mythologized, like it's comedic. Because these are coming from people that live in trailers, that live in Georgia and other southern states that, you know, if you sent them to Scandinavia, they'd be fucking appalled because it's a monarchy, first off. And second off, it's very, very socialist, like legitimate social programs and stuff. It's just, it's this very silly, I don't know, callbacks to something that has never truly existed in this country, which is why when you kind of have to do this little bit of like dissecting to these myths like Steve's did to kind of make this make more sense, because this is a legitimate identity and a legitimate like history with these people. That's what romanticism did. I mean, romanticism, especially and was big in Europe, especially big in England, where, you know, you would see a lot of imagery from different poets and writers as a means to justify growing English expansion into places like India and parts of Africa and parts of the Middle East as well, is because it became this way of being like, you're a destined people. You know, it's like the same way right-wing nutjob Christians will evoke the idea of being one of the tribes of Israel. Like you're destined for something because you're part of this, but it's just a lot of poetry and beautiful poetry, but it's a lot of nonsense as well.
I feel like is this because I brought up manifesting destiny the other day at the bar?
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm like you and that girl that were fighting with my professor, like are about to be on the same team.
It's because your professor said something very, very, very stupid.
It wasn't great. I was like, there's drama on the discussion board.
What about, did your professor say?
Basically, we were talking about manifesting destiny and what it meant and blah, blah, blah. And I said something along the lines of people like to use God and religion as a scapegoat. They've been doing it for years. And here's another great example. You know, something along those lines, because that's basically what it was. They used manifest destiny to say,
invoking the name of God.
Yeah. Where God said to whomever, this is what we're doing. This is the vibe. Go westward. That's our destiny. And people
stabbing
like,
westward. And people like the early 90s alternative band.
Yeah. And people were basically like, yeah, hell yeah. Doesn't matter what we do. That's our destiny. And the girl spoke about how it was terrible. And then the professor tried to basically play devil's advocate when sometimes devil's advocate isn't like necessary, you know?
As somebody that is going to be a teacher, you should really preface that you're going to do that.
Right.
Like not maybe, say something really asinine
and
assume that people can read between the lines on an internet forum.
It got a little out of control. And then me and Scott were discussing it the other night. So I could tell he was like, he had thought about stuff that he wanted to get off his chest.
Got some thoughts about some people talking about things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But yeah. So, again, just to kind of take that all in, there is so much more to these myths than I think you can understand as an American, which is why we've kind of went into this diatribe about it. But to get into more of the fun parts of this movie now.
Yeah, let's talk about fun stuff, guys.
So we learned from Hans that the trolls, who are normally reclusive and avoidant of humans, they've been migrating closer and closer, and Hans is kind of on a mission to investigate why the phenomenon is happening. And the real kind of big plot point is that he needs to get a blood sample from a live specimen so he can bring it to a vet who works for the TSS. And as we learned from the vet, trolls are mammals. They are, obviously, there's some sort of actual creature that's existed, and they have a very peculiar biology. The most peculiar thing being that sunlight causes their body, because they can't process vitamin D, so their body can't take the sunlight, and it causes their blood to, like, freak out, essentially. So they explode, as we see in certain cases in the movie, or they straight up turn to stone. So they pretty much have to lure a Raglefont, which is a bridge troll, with a trio of goats, which is a nod to the three Billy Goats Gruff, and they find themselves...
Oh.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, goats.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And we watch Hans get the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, that's
in his armor.
That didn't upset me. I was more upset about the goat.
Well, goats are delicious.
Oh, my God.
It's true. So we see Hans kind of get the shit kicked out of him, but he gets the blood sample.
Yeah.
They drop it off to the vet, and then they ended up kind of looking for more trolls, and they end up trapped in a layer of Dovregubans, which are, little comparatively to the other trolls we see.
The other ones were like giants.
Yeah.
With three heads. This one was a baby.
Well, they were like farting, big snouted monstrosities.
Your farts.
Thank you very much. Troll farts. But we do learn that Kale, who Hans specifically keeps asking them, please say you're not Christians. You can't be Christians. They can smell you, which is kind of a funny little nod that we were talking about. But, like, legitimately, the kid was. He freaks out. They sniff him. He gets the shit ripped out of him.
Yeah.
And,
Consequences for lying.
Consequences for believing in God.
In the eyes of God. That's a sin.
So, this kid ends up dying. They lose their cameraman. And this is kind of where we start getting a second portion of this kind of social commentary. So they have to find a replacement camera woman who's named Malika. She is specifically Muslim, which Hans asks, I don't know if that's going to be a problem or not.
Yes.
And there's kind of this tiny subtle nod to the fact that a lot of Scandinavia for a couple decades, but really of recent, from like 2010 when this film came out and onward, became a major destination for people from the Middle East who are fleeing essentially us and a bunch of other countries, displacing them.
Refugees.
Okay. So you have a lot of Middle Eastern people, and that's kind of a really subtle, like I said, nod by Hans, who's being like, I kind of don't know what the fuck you people are about, so I have no idea if being a Muslim, they're going to be able to smell you, like if they can smell a Christian. We also see kind of another somewhat comedic but racial nod to the Polish hunter, the Bärenjäger, which is also a delicious liquor you can get at Lunar Brewing Company. We do have many bottles for sale for your enjoyment pleasure, who's this dopey Polish dude who, Scandinavians look down upon as much, and I'm not saying all Scandinavians, but I'm saying this character is, you know, looks down upon Middle Eastern era Arabic people as much as Polish people from Eastern Europe.
Ugh, because I love Polish people.
Yeah, they're great.
Little Mihash.
Yes, your Polish friend. No mowa mi po polsku, as I always tell her.
Kurwa masz.
Exactly.
Yep.
The funniest character in this fucking movie is the guy that just drops a bear carcass and has his footprint thing. He's just like,
that was wild. That was,
I'm Polish.
The fact that too, like, he just did it while they were filming too. Yeah. He was just like, I'll deal with it later.
Which is proof that making fun of the Polish people is okay, but also that the Polish people are kind of funny. Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. But I digress. So we learned through this movie from the vet that the trolls are rabid. Thomas, who was bitten earlier, now has rabies, and he kind of learns that a little bit abruptly from Hans. But regardless, they know they have to keep going north, that there's something making them run from the north towards civilization, where they encounter the Jotar, or a Jotun, a giant.
Jotnar.
Duh. A massive mountain troll, while they do succeed in escaping, which is pretty much the big climax of the movie. This thing's fucking massive.
I thought they were
going to
die for sure, and I was like, oh, they lived?
Okay. Well, they...
Well, yeah, you know.
They didn't.
Well, yeah.
But we see this massive troll is like the size of a fucking mountain. We learn that the expansion of the power grid in northern Norway was a means to keep them from essentially moving south.
Honestly hope one day they're like, and this whole time the power grids are for trolls, and I'd be like, hell yeah. Like, oh, that would just make me so happy. You know, like how you just want them to admit that there's aliens. Like, come on. We freaking know. Just tell us for reals. Don't put it in a document that's confusing.
Well, if you're Varg Vikernes, you do believe that all strong Nordic males and the Nordic people come from Orion's belt and are actually technically aliens to bring civilization to Earth.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah. As long as they believe that the Earth is round, I'm cool with it.
Let's not get into that now.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically they meet this mountain troll. Hans takes the fucker out with essentially like a light bazooka.
A light bazooka, yeah.
And then our friend Finn Haugen shows up to take the tapes, and the students are never heard from again.
Nice.
Which is great.
So
big fun.
I was feeling like when he was stomping around with the bear things, and then that end is basically like, not necessarily like, well, he's kind of part of the government, but not, but like.
No, he's specifically part of the government.
Oh, he is part, okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, then.
He was,
I guess,
like the guy that was in charge of, like.
I guess what I got from that whole thing was, fuck the government, like, thinks they can do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. And,
yeah,
like, that's
this is,
the
this,
vibe.
This, yeah, this is making fun of the idea of a conspiracy theories within the government, which. Because I've been on my big MK Ultra research side thing that I'm doing in my reading thing. Not specifically untrue in certain circumstances, but there is that kind of...
That the government's hiding stuff? No shit. Is that what
very eloquently put, Jenna.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
secret
no.
government programs. Like,
well,
the
no
TSS
shit.
Is the government program in this
movie. I mean,
movie.
And I believe in... I'm not like, ooh, conspiracy theories are true, but like, I think they're hiding stuff that, oh, my, I sound like my father, that we don't even know about. The other stuff's just distracting.
Yeah, like trolls.
Yeah, like trolls. It's like, just come out with it. I would like have a troll for a pet.
Just wait until you learn about the Lake Michigan mermaids.
I'm just kidding. I would let the trolls be free. Lake Michigan mermaids?
Yeah.
They drink Malort in old styles. That's how they survive.
It's just fat. It's this fat woman from the south side fucking stuck out in a rip current.
Hell yeah.
I did enjoy this movie. I haven't watched it since college, so this was kind of a fun little rewatch for me 12-ish years later. My biggest gripe with this movie is that, again, it's one of those movies that I feel like just goes on a little bit too long for Scott's attention span.
No.
Yeah, two hours is a
it was 2 hours. Run.
It was two hours and 15 minutes. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
See, look at my reaction. I clearly enjoyed it because I did not feel that energy at all.
I love this movie. It's definitely a bit of a long runtime. It's definitely another one because of that we might have people arguing as to whether or not it's actually a horror film. I think it definitely is a horror comedy.
Yeah.
And I think for a film that's PG-13, it's I don't know if you can actually get much scarier. I think you can actually do a lot more.
I think when they're trapped in the cave.
What would you classify it as?
It's a mockumentary.
If you weren't calling it horror, though, what would it be classified as? You should answer exactly. That's horror.
Action adventure.
Yeah, action's kind of, I mean, action. Yeah, adventure. Yeah, it's just got the right amount of like again, you get monsters, and it's not even, like, gory. I mean, we see a goat get eaten, and the implied death of Kala, who seems to probably have been...
Oh, Caillou? That's what Caillou, I was yes, calling him in my
who
head.
Was, like, most likely ripped to pieces and yeah. eaten. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's never... It's not graphic.
No. Well, that's it's PG-13, I guess.
I think the saving grace, and also my biggest problem, is that because we see most of the trolls through night vision or not fully, is that CGI isn't terrible. But again, it's you're kind of assuming it's not going to be good. I mean, CGI doesn't always hold up. I thought for the Jotnar, for being the big bad guy, the big monster at the end, was actually pretty cool as fuck looking. Yeah. I did not particularly give a fuck about the cave trolls. I thought looked kind of dopey. The Dovergrubins, as they are called. I liked that it was a cast of mostly unknowns. Apparently when they filmed this, most of the student actors, or the actors playing the students, didn't realize that, like, this was going to be kept under wraps. They were actually dragged around, like, the wilderness of northern Norway for a lot of this, and it apparently wasn't that much fun, which...
We didn't even talk about how beautiful, like, parts
of the
movie were.
Oh, yeah, it's a gorgeous movie.
There was such, like, an interesting juxtaposition between, like, how ugly the trolls were, and then just, like, they were like, and now cut to scene, like...
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful landscapes.
The fjords, I mean, this is why people pine for the fjords.
It was
yeah.
just, like, reminded me, because I've obviously never been anywhere like that, but, like, if Seattle, like, did a bunch of crack...
No, they do a ton of crack in Seattle, that's the problem.
That's what it would look like.
Yeah.
Or, I should say Washington.
Yeah.
Not Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of the things, like, if you watch this movie and you don't think it's beautiful, you probably have a terrible appreciation for nature or anything aesthetically pleasing.
You could be colorblind.
Well.
More so.
Is that a jab at me?
No. It was just a fact.
No, it looks good to me.
Yeah, I'm saying more so than you. Like, the full Monty, you know?
I'm really confused what's going on.
Like,
right
now. They can't see any color. Then it wouldn't be so beautiful.
No, it's still beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah, I the runtime kind of drags. The explanation drags out. I feel like...
I disagree. You know why I disagree?
Kvrletak is in the end credits, which is great. So that actually does add a half star for me. But I don't know if I truly... I don't know if I love this movie. I enjoyed it. I am, like, reticent to say 3 stars, but I feel like 2.5 is probably too little.
Spit it out.
I don't know, like 2.75, if that was allowed on Letterboxd. I don't know, because there's parts of it, like I said, I want to give it 3, but, like, I feel like, again, if you're Joe Schmo watching this, you're going to miss kind of, and you don't understand Norse mythology, you don't understand kind of... a lot of the things we explained, it's going to get lost on you.
If you're a dum-dum like me, you can still enjoy it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can enjoy it, but I don't know if this is something I'd watch again for a while.
Ugh, I disagree completely.
I don't know.
Steve's
going to get some justifications to why he likes this, you and it might persuade me.
You ponder on your whatever you're doing over there. I feel like I gave this 4 out of 5. And that's because it was a badass movie. I feel like...
Good reasoning.
Hold on. Shut. Can I talk for 1 second? I feel like... God, now you made me lose my train of thought. You're the worst. Okay. I feel like why I like this so much is because clearly it, like, kept... It held my attention the whole time. And I feel like that's, like, a really, like, important thing for me. Especially because you guys were like, ooh, it's 2-something hours. And I was like, what? Like... I was just very interested in, like, what's the story? I just wanted to know more. So I think that was something really cool about it. I think, like, the whole... Because, like I said, I guess I didn't realize, like, how... Like, I knew it was supposed to be humor, but the fact that, like, I caught on, and even if it was in a different language, like, I just really enjoyed that part about it because it just made it, like, more interesting. Like, it just gave... It wasn't just, like, trolls. There's trolls. Like, there was something about it. And now, after listening to you guys talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, honestly,
we're very good at that.
No, it makes me like the movie even more. So, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like that even that didn't not change my mind, but enhanced and supported my views that I already
It was a great brassiere to your
thoughts. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And so like maybe like you need to, when we're done with this, you need to listen to the episode and then rewatch the movie. So
I rewatched the movie earlier today.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's why I'm unsure. I'm like, and this also, is legitimately one of the few movies we've done where I'm like, I don't know where I stand.
I don't know. I knew immediately. And also I thought the way that it filmed was really cool. Like just interesting different perspectives, especially. And I liked how they made the trolls. I enjoy the trolls. They're pretty cool.
Big troll enthusiast now.
Yeah, I've been a troll enthusiast, but now trolls, I'm their number one fan.
That's good.
Besides Steve.
Well, I give this movie 4 out of 5. I really love this movie. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I think it succeeds in a lot of ways. I think even if you aren't super familiar with all of the myth around trolls, there is enough that you get from the movie that you can see at least a couple of the different obvious readings of it. One of which being trolls is like a thing of nature, right? I mean, we even get it with the bears in the beginning, you know, the way that, oh, only certain people get to do it to keep the bear population in place or whatever. They're running out of space. And so things are coming towards where humans are. It's a very, very classic kind of environmentalist kind of take. So you can, even without showing this like grander tale about the encroachment of mythology and of and religion and whatnot on culture, you at the very least have this kind of tried and true formula of, here's your classic kind of climate change environmental movie now at this point, where you can just say, well, humans are encroaching on the trolls and the trolls are attacking, right?
Ugh, humans.
Hans even says it at one point, you know, like, they're just animals. Like, they aren't, you know, we put this, all this myth and all this terrible bad stuff on top of them. But at the end of the day, they're just animals. And I think that's kind of the same way that man has always looked at nature, mythologizing it, making it be this greater thing, this thing bigger than what it is. And at the end of the day, it's nature. It's doesn't think, it's not, it doesn't have intention. It's just, it is what it is. And then you also do have all of these other aspects that I got into before about the myth and whatnot, which I think makes it better and elevates it. Being familiar with the drier style of Norwegian comedy would elevate it. I can see why, like Scott said, there are things about it that would make it difficult for certain people to watch it if you're not familiar. But there's so much in this between the beautiful cinematography, pretty good special effects that still stand up for the most part. You know, they're used sparingly and they're used intelligently, you know, masking things in shadow or with the night vision glasses, you know, night vision lens of the camera. That all helps to air a realism to the CG. But I also think this is one of the best examples of not just a mockumentary, but specifically of that found footage style.
Yeah, that's I'm kind of looking at some Letterboxd reviews, because those are always a good way to really make yourself feel better. And when somebody says, a very disturbing documentary about one of nature's most fierce and unbelievable creatures, 5 stars, makes me think that person thinks that the found footage was real.
Or that's just satire. That could be heavy satire.
It could
satire.
Be. It could be.
Probably satire.
Scott's like, no, this person for... sure, I assume trolls.
Everybody on the internet's a moron. It's definitely better than the Blair Witch Project. Well, that's one of the first found. Well, not one of the first. I mean, Cannibal Holocaust would be one of them.
Maybe they were inspired by something of that nature.
No, but this is the point I'm trying to make: is that compared to the Blair Witch, which is a found footage movie, which does take itself way too seriously, the comedic aspects of this, which again is a drier comedy, which doesn't bother me. That does kind of endear itself a little bit more towards me. I did like that it was a smaller cast as well. Mostly because it did feel like you did feel like those three going on four college age student actors were just dumb kids that had essentially a camera and sound equipment that were just trying to be
to make it big in the world. Little go-getters.
Yeah.
So that kind of does endear itself to me. I thought that Otto Jesperin was great as Hans. I wish I knew more of his comedic background to appreciate. I thought though that he was fun to watch. He definitely was like the guide through the movie that made it enjoyable. I guess I will say begrudgingly, but because again, I don't think 2.5 is fair. I would say 3. I am happy to say 3 stars, but this is something that maybe upon, and I did enjoy it. I will definitely say I enjoyed it.
You're just being hella difficult.
I am being a little difficult today.
It's like me
on
and
this
Steve
one.
Were like, yeah, absolutely. Five out of five.
I think we'll do, I think we'll do your movie next week, which is a bona fide 5-star banger, for sure.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
A
bona fide 5-star banger.
Ooh. I do like that word.
And that's mostly because I don't know what movie I want to do.
Yeah, I knew that.
And then we got to do Leprechaun, at least for St. Patty's Day.
It had nothing to do with my movie. It was just that Scott's ill-prepared. But as you now know, I was a Girl Scout, so I'm always prepared.
Are you? Then where was the bottle opener for the wine bottle?
I said it was up in the cabinet. And you refused to. I don't know how to use that. Really? It took me boop. 1 second to take the cork out. You're the one that lost.
What movie are we doing next week, Jenna?
Okay. We are doing the movie called The Witch.
Very good.
Yes, that's pretty easy.
So that is technically, is that our third A24 film? Second A24 film? I think it's our second.
I'm looking to see where we.
Oh, it might be the third. It might be our third. You're right.
Hereditary Lamb.
Lamb, yeah. I forgot about Lamb. No, I will say this: Troll Hunter better than Lamb.
Yeah, no shit, Scott.
Trolls much cooler than goat men.
Okay, it looks like.
Which is strange because if I could be any animal in the world, I'd be a goat man.
Anyways, it looks like you can watch on Hulu. Amazon Prime, Showtime, and then you have for free, and then it's on Apple TV, Gross, who has that, and YouTube, but you got pay.
We also own it, which is good, so.
Oh, and we own it.
Doesn't cost us anything this week.
I knew that. Yeah.
Yes. The Witch will be fun, not specifically a creature, so to speak, but definitely a folklore, I guess, right. You could really, even though we kind of shit all upon what is American folklore, this is probably a slightly better response to all of that. This is definitely a jab at the puritanical early settlers of, you know, the 13th colony.
I can write about this in my history class. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's
this
good.
This is when people are like, what's white culture?
The witch.
No, just kidding. That's not white culture. I just want to make that fucking clear. Witches are not white culture whatsoever.
Oh, no. Witches have existed everywhere.
Yeah. No shit.
Brujas.
Yeah.
Brujeras. Yeah. Sorceresses. Yeah. So this is going to be fun. You've not watched this. You tried to watch it with him before, but you fell asleep.
Yeah.
So.
I was like on drugs for my foot. So.
This is true. Yeah.
That doesn't count. Like. What happened? Like, if someone gave you oxy, you would, like, sleep, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. If you guys didn't figure out, the Patreon is up. It took them a weird amount of time to approve, because they said they had to approve our content, even though I couldn't upload content, and then they
put
it up, and then they took it down, and they put it back up, so.
Scott was, like, kept uploading dick pics, and they were like, guy, chill.
Yeah, Groovy Little Spook Show, it's just all dick pics now. If you're listening to this, it's Thursday when this came out. We will probably have both the first After Hours episode and the interview with Bobby Liebling of Pentagram up within the next week. So obviously you might want to wait before you sign up for that, but that will be up. We're going to probably do a couple.
No, sign up or I'm not going to edit the fucking episode.
Boom! Threats.
Just give us your money!
Give us your money.
We need stuff. Help. So that'll be up. I have a couple interview stuff set up that are going to go up as well. That might be a couple more than previously promised. Originally, we said it was just going to be 2 extra episodes a month. It's going to be probably around more like 4-ish. After Hours is a little bit more of just me and Steve talking about actual real world bullshit and being political and being cranky old men, essentially, with strong opinions.
I'm all for it. It's like less talking to me then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
So those will be up. Besides that, if you want to follow me at TheGhoulDaddy on the socials, pretty much just do it on Twitter. That's all I really fucking check. If you follow the Instagram, that's totally cool. I don't really post pictures. I just, unless I'm humiliating actress Leah Thompson. Otherwise, find me on the Twitters, the show at Groovy Little Pod on for Patreon, for the Facebooks, which we don't really use, the Instagrams, the Twitter as well.
If you follow us on Facebook, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I do. I'm your number one fan.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I like everything.
Yeah,
I'm a good girlfriend.
I did notice that for whatever reason, the Filipino and Serbian listeners are the ones who follow us the most on the Facebook. So if you're listening in Serbia or the Philippines,
can go on Facebook. Well, that's okay.
We love the Philippines.
You know, it's interesting like what social
Duterte?
Media
Duterte? Love him. Love when people get pushed out of helicopters.
That must be like what is the popular social media.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And like,
but go on the Twitter. You can talk to me. People talk to me all the time and send me messages. We actually have a nice little contingent of friendly people that do talk to us and send me messages. I don't know if they send anything to Steve.
No.
Send Steve a message. Send Steve a dick pic. Yeah, send Steve a dick pic.
Send
please.
Me a message.
Send Jenna a dick pic.
No, I'd like a boob pic. One boob. One nipple.
Send your titties. And Steve, rude speaker at the places, assumingly, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Next week, The Witch. We're tired. It's late. I drink a lot of whiskey. I'm going to bed. Good night.